Good Friday afternoon. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Socolow Village Studio. It's October 20th, and we're heading into some great fall weather next week. It could even be into the 70s a day or two. Tom Fairbanks, could it be?
It definitely could be. And how about 50 degrees sleeping weather at night?
That's nice. We're going from summer to winter. There's no fall.
Exactly.
There's very little spring. That's okay. I'll take it.
The end of summer into fall.
I have a feeling summer's not quite over, but we're gonna embrace next week as long as we can. So I am Dan Shear. I'm the editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun, sitting in for Bill, who's going to be back at it next week, and we hope he has had a restful time off. On Fridays, Bill gives a high five to the Buckmaster Show media partners, which include TucsonSentinel.com, Green Valley News, Sahuarita Sun, Tucson Local Media, and Tucson Weekly and more. You're going to find all of those on his website, BuckmasterShow.com. In our Friday Focus interview today, we're going to be talking with Carlos Valles. He is the executive director of the Sahuarita Food Bank and Community Resource Center. A lot going on down there. If you have a question or comment anytime during the show, give us a call at 520-790-2040. That is the Buckmaster Show live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Carlos Valles, welcome back to the show.
Dan, thank you. Good afternoon.
Yep, you've been here before.
Yes.
And I will tell you, we should have you on every month because there's so much going on down there that I'm saying to myself, food banks aren't food banks anymore.
No, you know, I almost feel like we need to have our own radio show down in Sahuarita.
That'd be great. That'd be great. Maybe get Bill to do a live remote down there sometime. So I got to tell you, I'm a busy guy, but you make me look like a slacker because you're doing so much in Sahuarita and beyond. And we're going to get into a little bit of that. But first, give people a little bit about your background.
Yes, I've been with the Sahuarita Food Bank and Community Resource Center. I'll be hitting my 5-year anniversary here in about a month.
Wow.
So it's it seems like it's in a blink of an eye. My twin girls just started kindergarten this year, and they are 5. So so much changes have happened. I'm originally from Texas. I moved. My family and I, we moved here in the early 2000s. I was stationed at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base, served in the Air Force, and we decided to stay in Arizona. It's a beautiful place to live.
Yeah, great. And you're in a beautiful part of the state, too.
Excellent part.
And a great community, too, because you live down in Sahuarita. So that's terrific. Like I said, there's a lot to talk about, but I think one of the most exciting projects going on there is Project Azul. And tell us what that stands for first, and then let's get into what it does.
So Project Azul was a 2-year kind of a dream of what we were doing at the Sahuarita Food Bank Community. I'll just say the SFBCRC. It's much easier.
Sure.
We feed many people from many rural communities in southern Arizona. And one of the big things is how can we get the services that you're offering down in our neighborhood, in our communities? And so fast forward 2 years, we applied for a couple different grants. And thankfully, all three came through. For Project Azul, the most difficult part of the program was procuring a truck. And so we found a blue truck. And then one day it kind of came to us, you know, our truck is blue. The trailer that we ordered was blue. Azul means blue in Spanish. Azul is Arizona Uniting Lives. And really that's what it is connecting people with other people. And we are just we're just trying to build capacity, and there's a misconception that we're bringing. These are programs that we are offering, but we have a lot of partners that we work with. And the mobile piece, it's a 46-foot trailer. It's got a classroom, a private office, a bathroom. It's got high-speed Starlink internet, so we can take it anywhere on the road. It's got an awning, generators. So really, it's a mobile piece on wheels. And we, for some of the food deserts, we will be bringing some food, but what we are really focusing on is connecting those much needed resources to those rural communities that come to our location. And many of them travel 40 to 50 miles each way just to visit our location twice a month.
So that 46-foot trailer has had a couple of outings already, and where has it been and what's it doing?
Yeah, so we had an unfortunately a couple months ago, someone targeted our trailer, cut the brake lines, hit the media. Thankfully, there was a Tucson repair company, trailer company that came out and repaired the trailer. We had a through one of our partners, Pep and Amado, was going to use it for one of their children's programs, but it happened that morning of, so we were unable to use it or loan the trailer. And then recently, last weekend, we, with one of our partners, Aravaca Human Resources, they had a big community event. They've established a park. And so we brought the trailer to showcase some of the resources, and again, bringing some of our partners so that way they could use the trailer as a platform.
As I said earlier, you're more than a food bank, and this really is a trend that we're seeing with some food banks across the nation that have the resources and the volunteers and able to pull this off. But in essence, you have become resource centers. You're so much more than food, but that is kind of the what drives people, gets them there. But first of all, nationally, this is really what's happening. And then tell us what's happening locally, that you've expanded beyond really what was a food pantry at one point in Sarita.
It was a food closet at one point. Yeah, it was a food closet at one point, feeding two families a week. We're between 450 to 500 families a week now. Wow. Which are record highs, and numbers keep increasing. It's we do have these outliers here happening every random week, but the need is great. We're seeing new people that had never used a food bank and now using that. But going back to the Community Resource Center, it's great to see not just us, we're seeing various organizations implementing different types of resources for the people that they're serving. So whether it's free tax preparation or even applying for SNAP benefits, in a sense, these organizations are a resource in their community. It's not just about food. And, you know, even food-wise, one of the big components is providing food, but what can we use? What can we make with this food? Let's eat healthy. Let's promote health and well-being. So it's great that many organizations across this country are implementing some sort of resource model. It's not just giving out food.
Right. And Good Shepherd United Church of Christ down in Sahuarita was the starting point for the food closet. And they gave over their church for years to host this. And then a big building went in next door on property that they had that they donated. What tell us about that? How big is that building? When did it open, and what's going on there?
So I always like to share with everyone that we probably built at the worst and best possible time. We built during the pandemic, which it did affect us in the cost of the facility. It nearly doubled, but there was a lot more funding just earmarked for these types of causes. So it was a blessing, but also somewhat of a curse. It was extremely needed, and we are in the facility now 20 months. You know, I still get excited every day. Yes. I come to work because I marvel at what the community has collectively done to make this possible.
Right, and how big is it?
14,300 square feet of that's our campus.
Right, and yeah. It is remarkable to walk in there, and you don't walk in there and say, yeah, this is a food bank. It certainly does not look typical, and there's a lot going on besides the food, which again I want to impress upon people is certainly a central focus of this. But a lot more is going on. You have classrooms there, you have a kitchen that. Going on. If you look at your calendar just for October, we're seeing employability skills workshop, cooking for health, making a resume, programs for young people. All of this takes volunteers.
Correct.
And now, as you get a little more into it, you're going to need specialized volunteers. How has that been post-pandemic, getting people to come back and give of their time?
So working in the food bank, it is hard, especially moving boxes, giving food. It does take a toll on especially our older volunteers, and that's predominantly who volunteers. So it's great when we're able to offer 80 different positions in our organization, everything from answering the phone to becoming a mentor or a coach. And we're always looking for all types of individuals that can provide different types of skill sets. Right now we're ramping up for our tax preparation in January with one of our partners, and we're recruiting individuals are willing to become tax preparers, and you'll go through the training.
Sure.
We're looking for computer instructors. We have a tech hub, so we teach, we facilitate, also teach. We have a computer basics. We have a Google IT certificates program. We have a Lego robotics program, and we're implementing an automation robotics program for the disconnected or the opportunity youth between 16 and 24 that might have struggled in school and are looking for an opportunity.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned the word partners. You're not implementing all of these programs from scratch. You are offering space and perhaps volunteers for people who can come in with a ready-made program that has proven been proven elsewhere. Is that correct?
Correct. About 85% of our programs are facilitated by another partner. We just host. We do a lot of the marketing. We do a lot of the promotion. But most of our programs are done through another partner.
So what are some of the volunteers that you have in there now that maybe 3-4 years ago you wouldn't think you ever would have needed because they're specialties and specialty classes being taught and, again, going beyond food?
Our English language acquisition classes have been popular. Even our Spanish language acquisition classes have been popular. And these are programs that some of our volunteers, they might have aged out, but they're still willing to give their time. And again, like the tax preparation is another a position that our volunteers are interested in.
Okay, and you're listening to the Buckmaster Show. We are with Carlos Valles. He's the executive director of the Sarita Food Bank and Community Resource Center. And so how many volunteers do you have?
As of this morning, 257 volunteers.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Green Valley loses about a third of its population in the summer because those are very smart people who go back to the mosquitoes and the humidity in Minnesota, as I like to point out to them. But you must get a whole lot more in the winter.
You know, what's interesting is that we're recruiting a lot of younger volunteers.
Nice.
In the 30 to 40 year age bracket,
yeah,
which is really nice.
That's terrific and rare. So more than 250 volunteers, and then you have to have volunteer coordinators. How many paid positions are there at the Sarita Food Bank?
Yeah, we have seven staff. Yeah, when I started, it was 1.5, and
wow.
We've really grown.
Wow. So, and you couldn't pull it off without these volunteers, obviously.
No, and they contribute 33,000 hours a year.
Wow. That's incredible. So give us a breakdown of where the funding comes from, and then we're going to tie this back to COVID when you just said there was a whole lot more funding available.
Yeah. Most of our funding, it's private individuals, businesses in the community that either they love the food bank, they love the community resource center, or they're really focused on one area. We have a backpack program, and so we have a lot of private individuals that fund the backpack program so kids do not go hungry on the weekends. And this, they might have had something personal in life that this is where they want their dollars to go. So we have also foundations, other nonprofits, and even we apply through government entities for funding when it becomes available.
Okay, we are in the midst of our Friday Focus interview with Carlos Valles. You are listening to the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Our live line is made possible by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. This is the portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's is on the northeastern corner of Swan and Sunrise, and they are terrific. They're open Tuesday through Sunday for breakfast and lunch. Treat yourself to their mouth-watering pastries, including that famous Danish Kringle so many of us love. monasdanishbakery.com. You can learn everything you need to know right there, or you can go to thebuckmastershow.com for a link to Mona's Danish Bakery. We'll be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan to the RTA board by December. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Shear, sitting in for Bill, and I'm with Carlos Valles of the Sarita Food Bank and Community Resource Center. And Carlos, we were just talking about, you were breaking down where your funding comes from, and now we're talking about how you're much more than a food bank, but has the expansion to a resource center opened the door to new grants and new types of donors?
Yes and yes.
Okay.
So we have individuals and even funders who really understand the food bank piece, but they want to see a change, and they want to see a systematic change, whether that's a new opportunity, a new career. And so we have funders that want us to promote some of these more dynamic programs to get people out of poverty.
Right. And so what you're talking about is that food serves somebody for a day and a job can serve them for a lifetime. And now you're getting into some of this training.
Yes. And but the reality is they complement one another.
Sure.
People are not going to pursue an opportunity if they're hungry. And hunger is just a symptom of many other issues. So if we can address that cause today, then we can work with them tomorrow on that change.
And so then you have some donors who say, we appreciate the food part of it, but we're much more into training a workforce or helping people learn English or whatever. And then you're seeing an increase then in donations based on that?
Yes, actually through both. They understand that they both, again, come, they complement one another. And so they're more willing to open up their pockets. We even have private individuals that traditionally they were maybe giving $1,000, but now they're saying, hey, here's $1,000 for the food bank and $1,000 that's going to be earmarked for someone to, for them to get an opportunity.
You know, you must, like I said, it's a very impressive facility to walk into. It's surprising, frankly. You must get a lot of requests for tours.
Yeah, I had mentioned in the last board meeting that we're going to start charging a tax or a fee to come through the tours. But, you know, it's been wonderful during doing the tours, because during the tour, I've learned from myself, from my staff members who really believe in what we do, and you know, just seeing the passion. For me, we've never done the same tour. We've done the same tour, but we've learned something. We've probably done over 300 tours in the last 20 months.
Oh, I'm sure. And everything is now out of the church and over into the resource center.
Yes to I want to say yes to a point, because I don't know if it's premature to talk about our new family resource center.
Sure, let's go ahead.
But we through a partnership with United Way and funded through First Things First here in Arizona, we were funded for a family resource center. And so it's a program. It's an overall encompassing program that's designed for families with children 0 to 5. And so our calendar, we have something nearly every day, from stay and play to reading, story time. And I will be honest that I was our program manager. She had managed this piece, but I kind of stayed out of the picture. But the day of kickoff, I was blown away by what I saw and all of the organizations that are participating in this family resource center, and all the families coming in every day and participating. This is really truly a benefit to the community and all the communities that surround us.
And how long has that been up and running?
A couple weeks now, three weeks now.
And so how'd you get the word out, and what type of folks are coming?
Again, through our food bank, we serve approximately 14 to 15,000 unduplicated individuals a year. Mm-hmm. So that is part of our audience, but a big marketing piece is social media, but then also through our partners. They're also part of this program, so they're doing their own outreach piece.
And then the Family Resource Center is run by who? I mean, I know you guys are kind of coordinating everything. You're kind of the traffic cop there, but actually carrying out the programs, I know you said you have a partnership with United Way. Who else is feeding into this?
Some of the partners are Casa de los Niños, the Easter Seals Blake Foundation, Make Way for Books, Parent Aid, and the UAA Community Extension Programs. We did hire recently Mia, who is our program coordinator, so that way she can ensure that we maintain that continuity.
Since you're on that, tell us about some of your other big partners. I know Pima County is involved and others.
Yeah, so what's nice is that we have such a strong partnership with Pima County that about a year and a half ago, we requested one of their staff members to be on site at least once a week. Mm-hmm. But then it evolved over time, and now we have Ana Camarillo, who works for Pima County through the One Stop. So individuals that are residing in our community or even in the rural areas that surround us, they no longer have to make that trek up to Tucson. They can come to our facility, get food, meet with Ana, get connected to the exact same services that will be held or being hosted here at the One Stop in Tucson, and they can get that same type of support.
Carlos Valles is the executive director of the Sahuarita Food Bank and Community Resource Center. Let's just go back to the actual number of people who are coming in specifically for food. Are we seeing numbers up or down? And has COVID coming out of that affected anything?
So COVID did. Our numbers blew up overnight.
Sure.
But the last 20 months, believe it or not, since we moved into the facility, we've grown, with the exception of July, this past July, we've had an increase month over month, percentage wise. And the big thing, what people share with us, is high cost of food, fuel. We're seeing new teachers that are coming, because they've shared with me that maybe this wasn't they should have chosen a different career. And what we share with them, this is not something that you could have avoided.
Sure.
But please continue being that teacher because we need you in our community.
Absolutely. Good advice there. So we're seeing the need growing, but frankly, a lot of people are finding out about you too.
And correct.
So, which could be driving it also.
Yes.
Okay. So then post-COVID, though, we're not seeing a whole, I mean, like you say, overnight, it was just blowing up. But now the growth comes from the fact that we are a growing community down there.
Yes.
People are just finding out about you.
Yeah. We get people that come in that they've lived in Sahuarita their whole life, and they're shocked that there's a food bank in their own community.
Mm-hmm.
So we're seeing it every day,
and the town council supports it
100%. And we're grateful that we have a great mayor, Mayor Murphy. I almost feel like sometimes he's our spokesperson. Just he believes in everything.
He sure does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and again, a lot of us just, you may not rub elbows with certain types of people who may need the food bank, but then as you pointed out, could be teachers, could be the person next door.
Yeah. I believe we can always find something that someone might need. So whether it's through us or through one of our partners, we can certainly, what we don't like to do is send someone away without a phone number, a question, or we're going to get back to you.
You think there's still a stigma for some people to go to a food bank?
Oh, big time. We talk to people. A lot of times they're shy. They tell us, we don't want to be here. Can you meet us at our car?
Sure.
But again, like we've modeled our food bank to look like a grocery store. So if mm-hmm. you come in, it looks like you're shopping at a little small market. It's a client choice model. You select what you want to eat. And in essence, it's provided other food opportunities to other people because people are not throwing things away that they would not eat.
And that makes, I think that makes a big difference because you do walk in there and it looks like a store. It's set up like a store and it gives people that sense that, as you say, first of all, you're not going to be wasting anything because people are picking up what they want. But then there is also not a sense that it's a handout.
No.
And you've had clients who've become donors.
Yeah, believe it or not, we've had an individual that was working for a local pecan producer, a grower, and she was laid off with, I think it was like about 140 other of her colleagues, came through our programs. Fast forward today, she's working for the state of Arizona, mm-hmm. has a state retirement, came in and said, I want to pay for it. I said, no, you know what? You pay yourself first and let's work on that.
That is a great story. And we need more of those. And I think that's also why a lot of donors have really perked up when they see that there's beyond giving food, there's so much that can help people get back on the right track.
Yes.
So
yes.
Tell us what your relationship is with the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona, Green Valley Amato. They have a food bank in Green Valley. They are known throughout Southern Arizona. They're kind of the big dog. You are not under their umbrella, but you do work with them a little bit.
Yeah. So, the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona is a regional food bank, and so we have an agreement to acquire federal food commodities such as TFAP and the CSFP program, and so we do have an agreement with them to distribute those food items to the people that we're serving.
Okay, and Roberto Hernandez is the head, the manager of the one down in Green Valley and Amato, and he's a good guy, so great to have him. We are with Carlos Valles, and there's a lot to talk about after our break. We're going to be right back on the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Socolo Village studio.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Thinking about a river cruise? Let Bon Voyage Travel guide you to choose the perfect cruise to complement your vacation dreams. River cruising has become more popular than ever, and we know you have so many options to consider when selecting the destination, cruise line, and ship. At Bon Voyage Travel, we provide a comprehensive presentation on the top tips for river cruises and have a team of specialists to assist you. Visit bvtravel.com and view our River Cruise 101 presentation today.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Okay, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Shear, sitting in for Bill. We are with Carlos Valles, and he's executive director of the Sahuarita Food Bank and Community Resource Center. And we talked a little earlier about teachers coming in earlier in their careers, and they need the services there. But what about veterans? You see some of them, too.
257 in the last 10 months.
Wow.
So we have a... Ron Bryant, who moved from Seattle about a year, 2 years ago, came through our doors, He came in just because he was going to connect us with a food piece. We ended up talking, and he said, "Are you a veteran?" I'm like, "Yeah." He said, "Well, I could tell," and we ended up talking, and so he's a veteran service officer, but he was doing his work up in Seattle and decided to move down in Sahuarita, and so I had approached them. I said, "Hey, how about doing things for veterans here?" Just recently, I'm happy to say that I'm part of the inaugural chapter of the DAV Chapter 38 for Sahuarita Green Valley, and Ron has helped out about 257 veterans with a disability claim in the last 10 months, which is impressive. I see veterans that come in with missing limbs, and they have no rating, which is unfortunate because their injuries were through combat.
Right, exactly. And again, it points to the fact that it goes way beyond food. And we've done a story on Ron at the Green Valley News, and he is doing terrific work there.
Excellent work, yeah.
So he's a guy who kind of walked in wanting to do A, and then suddenly we discover B, and you just really never let him leave the building.
No, and I know he hates me for this, but Ron, if you're listening, I love you. I love you. So you're doing great work. And for all veterans, I'll announce this. If you're looking for a veteran service officer, please reach out to us.
Speaking of which, How do people do that?
Phone 520-777-7675 or through our website, www.sahuaritafoodbank.org. That's S-A-H-U-A-R-I-T-A, foodbank.org.
Okay, very good. And I'm assuming a lot of the COVID-related funding has dried up. We talked a little bit about that. How has it been filling those gaps?
We've had to be, COVID CARES Act dollars were, I don't want to say easy to acquire, but there was more dollars to go around. So there was a bigger pull for everyone, for more organizations. But as funding has dried up, we need to become, what are we doing post-pandemic to ensure that we're maintaining continuity? So grants do get it does get tougher, but then also the current economic landscape is affecting even our current donors. Before they were maybe donating $100 a month, and now they're only doing $50 a month. So we have to be respective of how we're approaching our funders, we're approaching our donors, and making sure that we're utilizing their dollars to the fullest potential.
And a lot of that COVID funding went toward feeding students, 0 to 18 through schools and in school and out of school. And now, again, that has gone away, which leads us to the Summer Food Service Program. How did that fare in its first year?
So we had a grant this past summer. It was $12,500, and the local schools did not have a summer food program. So we kind of jumped in and helped out 112 families with providing them enough meals for during the week. And it was unfortunate because we could only enroll 112 families. Otherwise, we would have probably enrolled three times that amount. So unfortunately, many families went without those food items, but we always ensured that they could come to the food bank to get some emergency food. While we're talking about the summer food program, we do have our wonderful backpack program, which is designed for kids that are on free and reduced lunch. And this year we've grown to 11 schools. We have 752 kids enrolled in the program. It provides a weekend sack of two lunches, two breakfasts, five healthy snack items, maybe some cookies here every now and then, a milk and a juice. And it's just so kids don't go hungry during the weekend and they're ready to learn on Monday.
And the goal really is to make eventually people self-reliant. But let's be honest here. There's some people who are always going to rely on the food bank and its services.
And we understand that, especially with our senior population. Our tax preparation is a critical program for them. So that way they ensure that they're receiving their max refund, but they're also not paying for a tax return. And then if they need legal advice, then we can connect them to someone for legal advice at maybe a free or a reduced cost. So it's those types of auxiliary programs that we understand. We're not going to put every single person out into a new job. We need to understand the situation, but for those that are willing, able to, and are committed, we're here to help.
Let's talk about places like Aravaca and rural needs. You guys are venturing out into a lot of this. There's a ton of need out in places like that. What are you doing and what are you seeing?
So one of the big things is, I'll bring up Aravaca. There are a lot of people that are making things at home, and they have a somewhat of an understanding of what an e-commerce site is, but they've asked us, hey, can you help us create a website on how we can sell some of these items? And there are many artists in these rural communities, and while we don't want to partner with them and helping them create a business, what we're working with is, for example, we're working with an e-commerce business that can facilitate that program, so that way these individuals that are looking to sell and market their items in the rural communities, give them a foundation.
So these are people who want to do for themselves.
Correct.
And are some of them having success?
I know for a fact, as of today, we've helped one individual with starting their own website. So, all it takes is one, and we hope to expand from there.
Very good. And did you, as you were growing and bringing on programs and considering various things, did you talk to other groups throughout the country who are kind of doing the same thing, might be just a little bit ahead of you?
Yeah, so I, I'm driven by challenge, and I subscribe to a lot of different feeds. I love seeing what other organizations are doing, not just here, but across the country. And what I've done is I've kind of formed like this little grassroots, like a little cohort that I communicate with a group of eight other individuals every quarter, and just to listen and see what they're doing and how we can learn from one another and maybe not struggle by doing the same thing. They might have already figured it out.
Sure. Okay, so what have you done that hasn't worked?
What hasn't worked? Well, I know what has worked. So what we've really focused on is that if we have barriers, the more barriers that an individual has, the less likelihood that they're going to do anything. And so one thing that I don't want to say sets us apart, but I know one thing that has really helped us help people get to another stage, another level in their life, is that we have barrier removal dollars that have been earmarked by private individuals. So if someone comes in and wants to take our CNA program and they want to become a CNA because they want to not make $12 an hour, they might want to make $18 an hour, or they want to get into the medical field and this is a good stepping stone, but they can't afford childcare. Well, we say, we can take care of your child care. We can take care of the child care if you're committed to pursuing your dream. If you need transportation, we will take care of transportation. The only reason that we can't control is if the individual says no.
Hmm. So barrier removal dollars. Never heard that term before.
Yeah, it's something that we kind of found out about through, mm-hmm. you know, just talking to people and understanding why they're not participating, why, what's holding them back. And it's because they don't have childcare, or childcare is going to cost them more than what their, what the program's going to cost, or they just can't afford to quit their job. So we've pursued these types of dollars to ensure that if those are the challenges that people are experiencing, let's see how we can work together to bring down those barriers.
What kind of volunteer do you need right now but you don't have?
Oh, that's a very open-ended
question. Special skills.
Yeah, you know, I think that I know that everyone has a special skill set and we can find something for you.
So come in. You don't have to bring a resume, but you have to kind of know what you can do and what you can't do.
Yeah. You know, sometimes I see resumes and what I do is I give my keys to the individual. I'm like, you're more qualified than I am. Go ahead and start running the organization.
But that's great.
We have medical doctors. We have Fortune 500 executives that I see every day. And I never knew that they had such an impactful dynamic background, and it's just they're so humble. And then once I start learning about their background, then I understand why they're doing things. But then they say, hey, I'd love to do this because I was a CPA for this big company, and say, hey, you know what, we need tax preparers.
Very good. And you need a lot of just regular folks too.
Yeah, we need people that friendly smile, good morning, you know, that's all it takes.
Right. So everybody can be used in one capacity or another.
Yes.
Yeah, and I would encourage people to get over there, check this place out, because it's not going to be what you expect, and I think you'll learn that your skills can probably be used there, and you affect people way, way beyond Sahuarita and Green Valley.
Yes.
The role of churches in giving, I recall that you had a huge gift recently from the LDS Church down there in Sahuarita. I mean, just monster-sized gift, and that they have given in other capacities. But what is the role of faith communities and the food bank?
Well, I'll be honest that it's grown a lot. And going back to the recent LDS donation, it was they reached out to us. We kind of had a a message out into the faith-based community that we were running out of food, and they sent a trailer from Salt Lake City with 38,000 pounds of food, and we were expecting 3,800 pounds of food. So that was a blessing, and it's wonderful seeing even the smallest churches just bringing in a couple hundred pounds of food. That couple hundred pounds of food can be make or break, and the faith-based community has been wonderful.
Wow. What do you look for in non-cash donations? And let's put it out there that a cash donation in your hands can go a lot farther than it would in my hands. You have buying power.
Yes. So we do. We've negotiated rates with some of our suppliers. So yeah, your dollar can go 10, 20% more. But if you want to donate food items, we do look, we're always looking for shelf-stable items, cans, pastas, anything that's hearty, nutritious. We don't ever turn anything away, but we're also always looking for diapers and adult hygiene products because those are necessities for many people.
Right, and that's a really good point, too, because we actually were recently talking about that in our home. Gosh, would the food bank take this? And if nothing else, give them a call.
Yeah, and we have a partnership, so even if by chance you donate something that has expired, I'm not encouraging everyone to donate expired food items, but if it gets in the mix when we're going through the sorting procedure, things that have expired, even our produce sets, we're not comfortable giving out. We have partnerships with local pig farmers who come and collect every day, and in turn they come and bring fresh eggs. So it's a wonderful thing.
Wow. And I remember one year we were talking to the people who are leaving Green Valley. And again, Green Valley loses about a third of its population in the summer. And saying, look, as you're cleaning out your pantry, getting ready to go back to the Midwest, think about the food bank.
Yes.
There is a lot there that sometimes people just let go to waste. But we have a food box perpetually in our the lobby of our newspaper for both food banks locally. And I know a lot of other businesses, too.
Yes.
Do too. So overall, is the support growing, though, as people get excited about what you're doing there?
Yeah, and you know, it's exciting that many people are participating and not just the food piece, and they're seeing the other opportunities.
Well, good. Well, we look forward to having you back. I want to thank Carlos Valles with the Sarita Food Bank and Community Resource Center. And again, where can people find out more information?
Give us a call, 520-777-7675, or through our website, www.sawaritafoodbank.org.
Great. Thanks a lot, Carlos, for being here.
Thank you, Dan.
We are going to be right back with Weekend Watch to help you plan your next couple of days. Don't forget, our live line is made possible by the pros over at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We'll be back in a minute.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority Plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is collected throughout Pima County and averages more than $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates. Nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Welcome back. It's time for Weekend Watch, a great way to plan your next couple of days, presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. They're just 3 hours east of Tucson. There is a lot to do in Silver City and Grant County, including hiking in the Gila National Wilderness and visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. Find out more about what to do and where to stay at southwestnewmexico.org. And on the line, we got our friend Matt Russell. Matt, starting to get nice out there. I hope your weekend suggestions include getting outside.
Well, define nice, Dan Shearer. It's October the 20th, and it's 100 and something. Enough!
I'm done with it. I am done with it, but a good reminder of never to go back to the Phoenix area where we came from. But
amen, brother.
It'll be 100 there till Christmas, so not so here. And I know that you got a lot of great things on tap for us. What do you got?
Yeah, I do, absolutely. You know, this very scary season is upon us once again. You know, the ghouls and goblins are getting ready to suit up, and tonight is the perfect kickoff to the Halloween season as a ghost bar is going to pop up at the Savoy Opera House in Trail Dust Town from 8 to 11 p.m. So expect an elegant and eerie evening of spirituous cocktails, bewitching snacks and desserts. They're going to have live music, what they call spine-tingling activities. I dare not ask what that means. Now, they're encouraging guests to dress in black, of course, out of respect for the specters. This is a party in their honor. So your $55 ticket includes entry to the Savoy Opera House, two ghostly cocktails, all the fixings and activities, a frightening Friday night awaits.
But will there be opera?
There better be. A night at the opera is perfect for the season, I'll say.
Okay, what else you got for us?
Well, another sign of the season, of course, is the annual Marana Fall Festival. It's tomorrow from 2 to 9 p.m. at Marana's Heritage River Park. So carnival rides, live country music, pumpkin carving stations, a beer garden. They're going to have scores of food trucks, whiskey tastings, and, of course, mutton busting. And this just in from the Weekend Watch Public Service Desk. If you're going to be planning to bust any muttons, it's probably best to refrain from the whiskey tasting, just saying. Now, the town of Marana has family fun down all year long, and I think tomorrow's fall festival is really the perfect example. It's going to be a blast.
I got to tell you, Marana does it right, and it's great to see that they got this fall festival going and going and going. And now, give us miles and miles of reason to head out this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, Dan, as you know, Tucson lays claim to the best 23 miles of Mexican food in the United States. And on Sunday, the Tucson International Mariachi Conference will host an incredible culinary sampling of the top eateries along this 23-mile trail at a single site. So it's all going to be at the MSA Annex, which is just off of Congress Street west of I-10, from 3 to 7 p.m. on Sunday. It's going to highlight some of the best tacos and fajitas and moles y raspados, elotes y mas in the U.S. Lots of great libations to wash it all down. So save your gas money and the required 23-mile commitment to hit all these iconic restaurants. And just go to the MSA Annex on Sunday for one-stop snacking and sipping.
Dígame más. Did you know what that means? I tripped you up, didn't I? You got a great accent.
You.
Okay. Well, very good. Thank you, Matt Russell. So much to do, and I know there's a whole lot more out there, but 23 miles of Mexican food is sounds like just what we need for a great weekend. So thank you for joining us. I really appreciate talking to you.
My pleasure as always. Thanks, man.
Very good. And bye-bye. Thank you for joining us on the Buckmaster Show today. We talked to Carlos Valles, and of course, this interview will be available in the archives at buckmastershow.com later on today. I want to remind you that the Buckmaster Radio Program is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is responsible for the content of the program. Our thanks to Buckmaster Assistant Rosemary Brandt, producer engineers John Couch and Tom Fairbanks, and the entire team here at Bustos Media Tucson. Bill will be back next week, and thank you for joining us. Have a great weekend.